time for preaching tonight. It's our honor to have Brother C.T. Townsend, the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Augusta, South Carolina. He's going to come around. He's God's man for this hour. I appreciate his faithfulness. I appreciate the spirit this man has. You hear him gladly as he comes to preach to us from the word of the Lord. I love you. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. It is a blessing and a joy to get to be here. And I want to say to everybody that is cooking a meal or helping park cars that it has been wonderful. And we owe a debt of gratitude to the people that serve here and work so hard. Stuff like this don't just happen. And people have sacrificed behind the scenes and given and got here early and stayed here late. I watched today as everybody was gone from the dining hall and going home to take their naps or whatever you do between services. And there was ladies in there washing dishes and washing plates. And I know people look on this stage and think heaven only records what happens on this platform. But how many know that there's a God in heaven that records every single act of love and service that happens on this property? And I appreciate everything that's been said and done to be a part of this good meeting. Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help me for a few minutes tonight. As we dive into your word, I pray, God, that you'd help me, Lord. Calm my nerves, calm my spirit, calm my heart. Help me to be a blessing to your people for just a few minutes tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said. Amen. I'm interested tonight in this text where the Bible said that they were fighting with Amalek. And while in this fight with Amalek, Moses, Aaron, and Hur go to the top of the mountain, while sending Joshua to the bottom of the mountain to fight the battle with the enemy. I think it's interesting that when Moses gets to the top of the hill, that your Bible records for us that Moses, on top of the mountain, lifting his hands in the air, that as long as his hands were raised, they would win the battle. But when his hands would get heavy and his hands would fall, that they would begin to lose the battle. And for anybody that says, why didn't he just keep his hands up? You'd look silly if you did it now, but just go home tonight and see how long you can keep your hands in the air. And we find a wonderful picture here of the people that God puts in our lives to help us to keep on keeping on. Aaron and Hur come on the side and hold up the arms of the man of God. And as long as the arms were raised, the people of God would win the battle. I'm not here to preach this tonight, but I sure am glad for meetings like this of people that come in with arms that are heavy and weary. I walked in here this morning. Sometimes you preachers know what it's like where you're called upon to do the preaching or do something, and really on the inside you feel like you ought to sit down and somebody do the preaching to you. And we had good singing, and this morning Mr. David got up here and got to sharing his testimony about how God saved him. And at first, man, I thought, man, what a testimony, what a story. And he got to singing that song about the rainbow and the woods and how Jesus came looking for him in the middle of the woods. And some, I don't know exactly the second or the minute that it happened, but the Holy Ghost breathed inside this place. And I had a little service with the Lord back there by myself, got me a drink of water. And all of a sudden, those hands that were a little bit heavy got to be raised just a little bit. That's why I love meetings like this. This is not a meeting where we come to grind axes or to chew on each other. This is a meeting where we come to lift up the name of Jesus to encourage. Listen, hell fights the preachers enough. We don't need to fight each other. Somebody say amen. But I'm glad for meetings like this where we can come and our arms be raised and feel like we can keep on walking another mile. What was it so significant about the arms of Moses being raised that when the arms would be raised, they would win, but when they would fall, they would lose? I've got a couple, but I've learned in the time I have not to preach a whole sermon. I about killed myself last night trying to get it all out at the same time. I'm going to preach one point tonight. Somebody, and all the Baptists said, amen. I'm going to preach one point. I'll give them to you. The first one, we see his hands being raised. I see you recognize his commitment to God. His commitment to God. How many know that keeping your hands out of God's business is a real commitment sometimes? Do we have any fixers under the tabernacle tonight? You feel like it's your God-given calling to fix everything. How many have learned? I've learned this in my short time of pastoring. I thank God for Preacher Brown. He led the way and gave a great place, and I thank God for it. But I've learned this in my short time that many times when I go to try to put my hands in stuff to fix, I make it worse than what it was in the start. And Moses there, I see a sign of him committing. God, it's your battle, not my battle. I'm giving it to you. I see the commitment that's there. Number two, I see the confidence. I see his hands being raised before God as a signal or a sign of the confidence that Moses had in God. This is not the first time that Mr. Moses has raised his hands to see the miraculous things of God take place. And Moses has learned by now that if he'll stay out of the way and if Moses will be Moses and let God be God, then things go a whole lot better. How many could testify tonight that you have seen God do enough up to this point that has built a little bit of confidence in your heart, not of what you can do, but of what God can do? I'm glad today that we have a history and we have a reputation when it comes to God, that we've seen him do the impossible. We've seen him answer prayers. We know that he is still the great physician and the lily of the valley. And if God's done it before, then God can do it again. And ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be troubles and trials in our lives. And when those times come, God give us the strength to keep our hands raised and signal the confidence that we have in God. And then lastly, the point I'm going to preach. I don't believe it takes a great theologian to properly exegete the homiletical ability of this text. Aren't y'all proud of them long words right there? I did go to college, amen. I know y'all don't believe it, but in this text, Moses' hands being raised, they would win the battle. Moses' hands going down, they would lose the battle. I believe tonight that the people of God should operate in a position of victory. I believe that there is something powerful and something wonderful, something that God has given us, the power of praise, the power of worship, and the position of victory when the people of God can keep their hands raised. Because what is the opposite? The opposite is to walk around. I see it every Sunday. People walking. They're usually the ones that go.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Amen. Come on, brother.
Spiritual Eeyores. Walking around in a spirit of perpetual defeat when the Bible says that we are more than conquerors, when the Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And child of God, I'm not here to give some speech and say just positive thinking. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that if God is your Father, and if heaven is your home, and the Holy Ghost has taken up residence on the inside of your heart, there ought to be something on the worst of days that gives you the power, the unction, the ability to say, I don't know how God is going to bring me through this. I don't know when God is going to get me through this, but by faith, I just believe that it's God's job to fight my battles. I believe that it's God's ability that I can have confidence in him, that he's a mountain-moving God. He's a great physician. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the sweet rose of Sharon. He's the great I am. He's not just the great I was, but he's the great I am. What God did for Moses, what God did for David, what God did for hallelujah, what God did for Abraham, that same God is still seated upon the throne. And as long as that God is still seated upon the throne, it don't matter who's in the White House, it don't matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat, it don't matter what they stand for or believe, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as long as hallelujah, as long as my God is seated on the throne, I'm going to be all right. So by faith, when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it, I'm going to keep my hands up. I believe it's the will of God for the people of God to operate in this position of victory, where we keep our hands up. I do this about every night of my life somewhere. And at times, I walk into churches and they're ready and fired up. And sometimes, their hands are down in a spirit of defeat. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's the will of God for us to keep our hands in a place of victory. Not to give the devil 1 ounce of a place to feel like he's on the winning side. Now, we are to operate in a position of victory. I know life can get tough. I know that life can deal a gut punch. I've learned by now that one phone call can change everything. And it is the will of the devil to distract you and to discourage you. Isn't it something to see the algorithm or whatever you want to call it of when these attacks come? When God's doing something in your life and God's about to move and do something in your life, here comes the gut punch. Here, and we ought to know that it's an attack of hell to come against what God's doing. But the devil wants us to get our hands out of this position of victory and go into a season or a spirit of defeat, because that's how the devil distracts you and I. I know for preachers, How many have ever walked to the pulpit and somebody comes up to you and just gives you a real blessing and tells you a big long story 5 minutes before you're supposed to preach? Yeah. I don't think you should have. And then they give you a 5-minute sermon on why they ought to find a new pastor before next Sunday. And all of a sudden your hands go from. What do you do when you don't feel like raising your hands? This element of faith and worship, come is not all about how you feel. Your feelings will lead you astray. Come on, y'all, be honest with me. God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and truth. Within Christendom today, there are so many different philosophies on it. We have some crowds that are like Mr. Gumby. They're all feelings. And when everything's good, woo! But on a Sunday when they don't feel good, there ain't nothing. Worship is not all about how you feel. Worship is based on the facts of who God is. Yeah. Preacher Brown used to say it like this. There's Mr. Facts, there's Mr. Faith, and there's Mr. Feeling. Right? Stetson, come here. You look like a good guy. Come here and help me. You come here and help me. You're Mr. Feeling. I know who you are. Come on. Right up here. This is where a bunch of bad movements have got started. Come on, get your hands up. Mr. Feeling. He got a good paycheck today. He got a pot roast in his belly today. No bad news. Amen. His favorite Democratic president won the race, and he's happy about it. Somebody say amen right there. He's Mr. Feelings is happy, happy, happy. How many of y'all know that we can't let this guy drive the bus? Right? We cannot let this guy drive the bus. Many religions, many denominations let this guy drive the bus. God's seeking such to worship him in spirit and truth. It's not just spirit. It's spirit and truth. This is Mr. Faith. Right? Now, some people let this guy lead the bus. And that's not the way either. This guy is Mr. Facts. Okay? He's boring at times. He's melancholy at best sometimes. He's not going to drive the fastest. He's just steady down the road. Mr. Facts. How many are glad that we have some good facts concerning God? And when we get things in the right order, we don't let Mr. Feeling drive the bus. No. Matter of fact, we're going to put Mr. Feeling in the back of the bus. Yeah. Back here. And Mr. Faith is going to come along as a good companion with the facts that we have. And we find that when this thing is operating properly, we put Mr. Facts in the front. The Word of God must be the central focus of everything we do. It's not about our personality. It's not about our degree. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we think. It's not about a popularity contest. We must have Mr. Facts at the front of the boat or at the front of the bus that we're operating in, because he's going to be as steady as the sun coming up and the sun going down. And there's something wonderful that happens when we do this right, because then we get Mr. Faith involved in Mr. Facts. And we come in here and we say, I may not feel good right now. Today may not be a good day, but let me get my faith involved with the facts. The facts say, if God be for us, who can be against us? The facts say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The facts say, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And Mr. Faith may not see it right now, but Mr. Faith has enough trust to trust in Mr. Facts. And here's what I've learned about this little system that goes on. When I get my facts right and I put my faith in the facts right, guess what, y'all? Guess what? Here comes Mr. Feeling along. Here he comes behind. And for any of y'all that don't like shouting, don't go to heaven, because it's going to be the loudest world you've ever been in. And when we get our facts right and we put our faith in the facts, here comes, this is your chance to shine now. Here comes Mr. Funny. Here comes Mr. Feelings. He's in the back. He's got his facts right. He's got his faith right. And guess what? There ain't nothing wrong in this order. When you get the can't help it, when you say, you know what, God has
has been good to me. You know, the word of God is true. You know, the devil may look like he's on a warfare right now, but I've already read the back of the book, and this thing don't end in defeat. It ends in victory. You know, the facts may be right that there is a sickness in the family, but my God's taking care of that too. Heaven's going to fix everything. We're going to have a glorified body, and no matter what you're going through and no matter what you're facing, you can find some facts in the hallelujah, some facts in that Bible that'll help you put your faith in the facts. And here comes Mr. Feeling along and will help you continue on down life's highway for the glory of God. That'll help you keep your hands up. Because if you let Mr. Feeling drive the bus, you won't be going nowhere. How many sermons would be preached if we only preached when we felt like it? How many songs could be sung if we only sung when we felt like singing? Life will gut punch you. Is confidence in God. His commitment to God. But I see this celebration moment up on top of this mountain when Moses realizes and looks on the battlefield and the Amalekites are wiped out. Joshua's winning the battle. Aaron and Hur and Moses is on the mountain. And I see a little worship service break out on top of that hill as they recognize that God has fought the battle and that God has won the battle for the people of God. The dignified folks would want me to believe that Moses would say, amen. I believe you can see Mr. Moses maybe shedding a tear up on top of that mountain. I believe you could see him giving God glory on that mountain, praising God that God had one more time showed himself faithful in that moment. Several years ago, when I married my wife, her mom and dad served the Lord under Preacher Brown there at the church. Some of the best Christians I ever knew. It was a joy. Miss Carol and Becky and Katie would get up and sing, and I mean heaven would fall. Miss Carol was Preacher Brown's secretary, and me and Preacher was in the church one day, and she came and she started coughing, and they took her to the doctor, and they admitted her. They thought she had a bad pneumonia. Then it was a lung disease, and just a day or two later, they come back and told us that her mama had cancer in her lungs. It was a very rapid progressing. We guess she had it for a while and didn't go to the doctor for some reason, and literally from the moment we got the phone call to say that Miss Carol had cancer, 2 weeks from the day that we got that phone call, we were standing around the graveside of Becky's mama, laying her in the ground. Becky was unapologetically a mama's girl. And her and Katie both, the weight of that battle and that storm and that loss in their life was devastating. Poor Katie, her sister got married 2 or 3 weeks later after had to do that without her mom. It was a terrible, terrible season. Becky, my wife, as we walked through that, my beautiful, godly, classy, blonde-headed, blue-eyed wife who sings and had a smile on her face and joy in her soul. Her eyes seemed dim and her arms went from here to here. Life had so gut-punched her, she became extremely depressed. She became extremely hurt, wounded by that situation. She didn't want to go to church. She didn't want to sing. There was times she said, I don't even know what I believe about this stuff going on. And before you throw rocks at her, maybe you should walk in her shoes for just a little bit. My wife went through a very dark season as her husband. I thought, Lord, I've got to say something to fix it. I've got to do something to help her. But I learned quickly that there was nothing I could say to unlock the grief that my wife was going through. The depression, we thought, well, let's go see a doctor. And they said we can do this so they could numb the pain she was in. I thought, well, let's go hear some bigfalutin preacher at some conference somewhere. Maybe he'll say something to unlock it. And we went to those conferences and they couldn't help. And all these different things we tried to do didn't work. 1 month turned into 6 months. 6 months turned into a year. 1 year turned into two. A dark valley. The devil would come by and say, I got you now, boy. What's CT without a Becky? And I got to agree with him. I got you now. You're the one traveling singing, I have been blessed. God's been good. If God was good, where's he at now? And my home was not living with our arms raised. My home was living with our arms down. It seemed to go on for quite a while. I'll never forget one day, 2 years in or so, Becky's dad had remarried and moved to another town, pastoring a church in Athens, Georgia. He called and said, I'm thinking about coming to town. The Lord woke me up this morning with a verse on my heart to give to Becky. I said, Steve, she would love, help me, Jordan. She would love to see you. I went off. I was preaching in North Carolina that night. I drove from North Augusta to North Carolina, and I had to turn around and come back that night because I couldn't leave her by herself. I went and preached and really forgot even about him coming. I got in the car and was headed home, got all the way home, and that night, I'll never forget, I walked in the house. Becky's got me trained to take my shoes off at the door and just quietly get in bed, not to wake her up. This night I come in the house, and as I walk in, the light is still on by the bed. And there Becky is seated on the bed with a Bible on her lap and about a million snot rags all over that bed beside Becky. I said, baby, what are you doing awake? She said, I've been waiting on you to get home. It's 2 o'clock and I've been waiting on you to get home to tell you what happened tonight. I said, what happened? She said, well, Daddy came over and we went and ate dinner and we came back to the house and we laughed and told old stories and talked and said, Daddy's chin started quivering. Said, and he looked at me and said, baby, I've been praying for you. Said, the devil has got your shout. And the devil stole your song, and you've lost your peace. And I've been praying that the Holy Ghost would give it back to you. Said, and this morning, the Holy Ghost woke me up and put a verse on my heart, and I'm supposed to give it to you. She said, what is it, Daddy? Said, he didn't even have to open his Bible. Said, he's quoted it. Said, it was your mama's favorite verse. And he said, he quoted, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I said, what happened, Becky? She said, I got mad. She said, I looked Dad in the eyes and said, "Not, are you telling me that not only did God take my mama, but now he wants me to thank him for taking my mama?" Said, Steve was weeping. Said, no, baby, because that's not what that verse says. In that verse, it doesn't say for all things. It says, in all things. Said, somewhere in all this, you got to find something to give him thanks for. She said, I was so confused. She said, I folded my arms and said, Daddy, I can't. Said, her dad looked her in the eyes and said, I know I came here on purpose. And I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to pray. If I got to pray for 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours, it don't matter. I'm not leaving here till we get some victory. Said her daddy got down on his knees and got to calling out on God, asking God to help his little girl. She said he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And she said, CT, I wanted to do what he was talking about, but I didn't know where to get started. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. She said, and the more daddy prayed, she said, I can't. She said, I'm not trying to say nothing crazy. She said, CT, it was almost like you could hear the front door of the house open and shut, almost like you could hear the sandals flopping on the ground as Jesus walked in the room, as Daddy got to praying in that place. Said, I could feel the presence of God go to hugging on me and loving on me. And said, as the presence of God came in that house of ours, said, I fell to my knees and said, this is the prayer I prayed to God. God, thank you for 23 years with the best mama in the whole wide world. And she said, when I found one thing to thank God for in this, the Holy Ghost started throwing memory after memory. She said, I started praising God for a mama that taught me to sing around a piano. I started praising God for a mama that taught me how to pray. I started praising God for a mama that taught me about Jesus, that loved me enough to take me to church. And she said, one by one, me and Daddy got to have a church in the house, thanking God in the midst of our trial. And she said, honey, I've been sitting up tonight because I don't want to go to sleep. I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow when I wake up. But as of right now, I feel like God set me free. I feel like God gave me my song back. She said, I want to sing this Sunday. And ladies and gentlemen, that's been years ago. And my wife has never been the same since that night when she learned in the midst of her trouble and in the midst of her tears and in the midst of her turmoil to find something to thank him for. Preacher, we've been trying to have a baby. She couldn't get pregnant. We thought, I thought, Lord, if we could have a baby, it would help her cope with all this. Couldn't get pregnant. It wasn't just 3 months or so after that little camp meeting she and her daddy had in the house. We were sitting at the insurance office trying to get insurance. They're asking all these questions about pre-existing conditions and all this stuff. I answered all mine, and I knew the pregnant question was coming on that list. He said, ma'am, is there any way you could be pregnant? I said, no, sir. Next question. Because I knew she'd just take off crying. Is there any way you could be pregnant? I said, no, sir. He said, Mr. Townsend, I appreciate your involvement, but I really need her to answer these questions. Ma'am, Miss Townsend, is there any way you could be pregnant? She said, I think I might be. He said, should I give y'all a moment? I said, you think? Yeah. And I'll never forget everything transpiring in the days and months ahead. June the 24th, 2010. One of the happiest days of my life. Little Tucker was born into this world. Everything got done, cleaned up. And Becky's holding little Tucker in that bed. And she just goes to weeping and crying. She said, do you realize what God's done? She said, we have prayed and prayed and prayed. But it wasn't until I got my heart in a place where I learned to, in all things, give thanks, that God unlocked the door to what we've been praying for. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I've done this long enough to know that not everybody in here is. Maybe, just maybe, tonight you walked in and you put on your little Baptist smile and you're trying to act like everything's fine, but inside your heart there's a groaning, oh God, please help me. The only thing is, you've believed the lie of the devil that God's waiting, or that you're waiting on God. It's not that you're waiting on God. God's waiting on you in all things. Give thanks. I'm done preaching. But maybe something in your heart tonight would say, I do need to, in the midst of this storm, get my hands back up. I do need to find something to praise God for. Everybody take a deep breath of air. Take a deep. That's a gift from God right there. There are many of you all taking for granted the very thing somebody else is praying for right now. Lately, I've been looking back along these winding roads to the old familiar markers and the mercy I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than I can explain. There's no other words to tell you than to say,
God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times. By my side, He's always stood through it all. Times were playing, I can see. When I cried those bitter tears, but thank God I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. Listen to this now. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. Oh, and His grace fell all around me. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times. By my side, He's always stood through it all. Way I can say it is this. If you know it, help me sing. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of heart. By my side, He's always stood through it all. God's been good. Sing this with me. God.